It's time to get real with Mike Murphy. Take off the blinders and wake up to what is going on in the world. Mike is sharing unfiltered truth so you, the listener, can make your own decisions and cut through the noise of what mainstream media is saying. Mike is bringing you real news, real problems, real solutions, and real hope. Question everything. Open your mind, own your power, and get real now with Mike Murphy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's 5 p.m. Pacific time, and today is Monday, August 17th in the year 2020. And welcome to Get Real News. I'm your host, Mike Murphy. And I'm super glad you're here. I was just talking to Olivia, who's our producer up in Seattle today. And of course, I'm down here in hot and humid Palm Springs. I think it's pushing 115, 116 out there right now. So it's been a little toasty down here, and we'll get into this. There's a heat wave all over the West here, and we'll cover that in a second. But welcome. We're glad you're here. I hope you had a great weekend. I had a fabulous weekend. Went over to Newport Beach, got out of this heat. Went to the beach, hung out with my daughter, her husband, and their four kids, and just had the best time. So I hope you did too. And now we're back to work. And so this is the sixth week of this show. And so last Wednesday was our 15th show, and we got censored and knocked off of YouTube. They took our video down and sent us a message that we violated their community guidelines. So I apologize for that, YouTube. If you want to listen to the show, it's archived at MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com. It's not on our YouTube channel because they took it down, but you can listen to it there. It was a good show. Obviously, I said something they didn't like. So we have a great show today. We're going to cover a little bit about COVID-19, which I think is still the hottest thing going right now. But there was this Millie Weaver thing. I don't know if you heard about it up there. And she was arrested, I think, in Ohio. And there's a little bit of controversy around that. Then we're going to get into these voting, this United Postal Service controversy drama. And then really cover the violence. This violence isn't going away. I don't think it's getting a lot of mainstream media coverage, so I want to cover it here because I think we got to prepare ourselves for what's coming in the fall. You know, we're only less than 3 months away from this election, and it's only going to get worse, ladies and gentlemen. And we don't know what they got planned next for us for this COVID-19 and this lockdown. So we have a lot of news to cover today. Glad you're here. If you want to phone in, you can phone in. We have an 800 number now, 800-930-2819, and we'll put that on the screen. And if you phone in, you get a recorded message, just hang tight, we'll pick it up. Or you can email me at mike@mikemurphyunfiltered.com. I'm getting a lot of good emails from you guys. I appreciate it. Stories that you want to hear about, more coverage, and things that we can do better. So I appreciate your input. So let's get started here. Olivia, put the first story up for us. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to keep on this COVID. I think COVID-19, more lockdowns coming, the vaccine, and what it's going to do to our economy is really the big story going on, and God knows what else they're going to give us to worry about and create more fear. But in this article, coronavirus is the third, or more likely the fourth, worst flu pandemic in U.S. history. But the first flu, the rat flu, remember, flu, why don't they just call it the flu, to ravage the economy thanks to faulty models, junk science, and Dr. Fauci. Dr. Tony Fauci and Dr. Deborah Birx used the Imperial College model to persuade President Trump to lock down the entire U.S. economy. This fraudulent model predicted 2.2 million American deaths from the coronavirus pandemic. I think we're at 156,000 or something right now. And keep in mind, most of these deaths, people had many other diseases that go along with it, from cancer, from diabetes, from obesity, from heart disease. The flu killed just a handful. Everything else is just hype. Remember that. The fraudulent model predicted to, I already said that. The authors of the Imperial College model shared their findings with the White House Coronavirus Task Force in early March. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx then met with President Trump privately and urged him to shut down the U.S. economy and destroy the record Trump economy passed on this model. A new critique of the Imperial College model finds the study is completely unusable for scientific purposes. The Imperial College study is a complete sham. I sham, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birch pushed a garbage model on the White House and the American public and destroyed the U.S. economy. You know, we haven't really felt it yet because of all this stimulus money, but just wait. All that is starting to dry up, and it's just going to get worse. As reported weeks ago, in mid-April, Dr. Fauci admitted that it was him and Dr. Birx who persuaded President Trump to lock down the U.S. economy, knowing the massive destruction this would cause in jobs, lives, and commerce. President admitted that during a press conference in April, the two very smart people came into his office and urged him to lock down the economy, or 2.2 million Americans would die from the China virus. But President Trump did not say who those two very smart people were. President Trump, the big projection being that 2.2 million people would die if we did nothing. I mean, if you came into my office and you said that to me, you have to shut the thing down. These people have an agenda, and it's not for you and I, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Fauci later admitted he persuaded the president to shut down and kill off the U.S. economy. This guy has been wrong nearly every step of the way. After Birx and Fauci sat with the president, the U.S. went into lockdown, and since that time, over 30 million Americans have lost their jobs, and thousands of companies have gone bankrupt. And we're just starting. Thousands more are going to go bankrupt. In late March, Neil Ferguson, who was behind the Imperial College coronavirus study, and this guy's been wrong on every other study for the past 30 years. I think we covered it last week, Dr. Ferguson. He backtracked and said 20,000 Brits may die from the coronavirus instead of the original estimates of 500,000. So he told the UK 500,000 Brits are going to die, and actually it's 20,000. Neil Ferguson resigned from his government post as researcher a week ago after he was caught breaking his own lockdown rules by meeting with his married mistress at his home. The Imperial College model was a complete scam. Today, we update our comparison of the worst flu pandemics in U.S. history. So number one, they have the Spanish flu, which we covered that last week, I believe, and it was all about the vaccination. Another BS story, ladies and gentlemen. The Asian flu in 57-58 killed 1.1 million globally. The Hong Kong flu, 1 million, that was 1968. The 2018 flu, just a recent one, killed 60,000 global deaths. And then COVID-19, 2020, they had 417,000 deaths. The U.S. at 172, but remember, every death is a COVID-19 death. This has been covered time and time and time, and it's really becoming mainstream media coverage now. The coronavirus is not this country's worst pandemic, but it did manage to ravage the U.S. economy and the middle class, and will continue to do so. No other flu came close to creating a panic of fools like the coronavirus of 2020 did to America. Yep. It's just one big scamdemic that was planned for a long time. It was planned for a long time to cover up the Ponzi scheme of fiat currency and the economic collapse that, you know, they've gone through since the Federal Reserve started in 1913, and that's when the income tax was created as well to pay the bankers on the interest. Why would a government give the right to private bankers to print their currency, then lend it back to them and charge them interest? And the bankers were smart enough to say, hey, we're going to do this, but we want an income tax because we want to make sure we're going to get paid. And we can go into all this stuff about how when you get a birth certificate, you know, it's pledged to cover this debt. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I've read a lot about it. There's a lot of good evidence that that's the case. And the money goes out of the country as fast as we pay it. And we just accumulate more and more debt. We're almost up to $27 trillion debt in this country. Who's going to pay this? Nobody. We're going to default. Here's a good article from the Daily Mail in the UK. Britons are more likely to die of cancer than they were 15 years ago because of coronavirus, as 27-year-old mother who beat breast cancer dies of the disease after doctors wrongfully blamed her cough on COVID-19. Experts modeled what effect disruption of cancer services will have by 2025 because of COVID-19. Around 3,500 patients with four common forms could have their lives cut short. The bowel cancer death rates may soar up to 70% because of delayed diagnosis. These hospitals are empty. People are afraid to go to the hospital, or they're not going. They're staying at home. They're not getting diagnosed, which, never mind. That might be a good thing, to be honest with you. This could see 5-year survival rate drop to 51.5, similar to levels of 2003. So we're going backwards. And what a shame. You know, this mother dies, and she didn't have to, but they think that COVID-19 was caused her cough, and it was really her breast cancer coming back. All right, our next article is very powerful. And Marie Bartiromo sources tell me John Durham will interview former CIA director John Brennan on Friday, this Friday. Well, I covered this last week. They've already come out and said they're not going to charge Brennan with anything. But here's the problem. Why I don't trust the Republicans and I don't trust the Democrats. Republican Senator Ron Johnson, Republican from Wisconsin, joined Marie Bartiromo on Sunday morning Futures this morning, yesterday. Senator Johnson was in the news all week after he first suggested that fellow Republican senators were preventing him from issuing subpoenas for James Comey and John Brennan to testify before the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Later in the week on Wednesday, Senator Ron Johnson said no one was blocking in the subpoenas for Comey and Brennan to testify before his committee. The bottom line is that's all a distraction. This Durham report is out. They just indicted some guy, some little attorney guy, Klein Smith or something like that. He's going to get a slap on the wrist. This whole thing is going to get swept under the carpet. It's one big distraction. This has been going on forever. Okay. This Obamagate, this spying on Trump and Michael Flynn and Carter Page and George Papadopoulos. This was obvious and a coup d'etat to overthrow the United States government and to disallow an election of a president that we voted for. I didn't, but most people, the majority did. And it's all a hoax. And it's all the deep state creating all this stuff. They've been exposed. They've been caught. But nothing is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. And all these people waiting for all these arrests. I saw on the internet today, you know, that Guantanamo Bay has been remodeled for all these people that are headed there. This is left, right. It's the same wings of the same bird, ladies and gentlemen. This is one big distraction. I mean, I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to see all these people that created all, wasted all our time and energy, first with the Russia thing, which turned out to be total BS, then the Ukraine thing, then the impeachment thing, the Kavanaugh thing. These people are clowns. They are jokers. I don't care if it's Nancy Pelosi, this girl Waters out of L.A., whether it's Trey Gowdy, who used to be there. They're all the same. They're all just nonsense, okay? They don't get anything done. They have no real power. You know, it's a pyramid, ladies and gentlemen. You and I are at the very bottom, and they're just a couple legs ahead of us. They're not even near the top. Anyways, so here's another big distraction, okay, that's going on. And so the whole distraction is keep our eye off of this COVID-19, keep us off this economy about ready to crash, and play games with this election. It's not an election. It's a selection, and they choose who we get to vote for. And honestly, like I've said many times, I believe Trump is the better candidate, but I'm not convinced that he's on our side. I still think he's playing the game. But anyways, here we go. Our next story, Millie Weaver arrested. So Millie Weaver is a lady that just created a pretty interesting documentary about Obamagate, about Obama spying on us, with two whistleblowers that she interviews. I watched the documentary. It's pretty interesting. It gets you all excited and hopeful that they're going to throw these guys in jails, which they're not. Okay. But InfoWars reporter, she's in from InfoWars. We'll get into that in a minute. Reporter Millie Weaver was arrested today, and she has no idea why. Officers told her it's based on grand jury charges against her for burglary. She said she was almost about to break some big news. Okay, Libby, if you'd be so kind to play that arrest video of her being arrested, I'd appreciate it.
Break.
You're saying a grand jury indicted me? For what?
We're going to have 221s out here. We have room to transport one. Can you send us a car, please? 9107 Yale Road. Okay. I will give you all your paperwork when we get to the jail right now. I need you to get some shoes.
Okay.
Because we need to get moving.
Okay.
We need to get this thing care of.
Well, with them, you're not getting ever back.
Okay.
Now we'll get...
Guys, I don't know what's happening right now. The police have just showed up at my house, and they said that they're arresting me. They said that a grand jury indicted me for something. I have no idea what. This is crazy. Where's my shoe? I have one shoe here. Okay.
And one shoe there.
Okay.
So we're good.
So why wasn't I given anything in the mail? Like, I have no idea what this is talking about.
Yeah, Billy.
Guys, I'm literally about to break huge breaking news right now, and I'm being arrested, and I have no idea why.
You know anything about this case?
Burglary?
Yeah.
For what? They're not even saying. They're saying we're being charged.
Okay.
With burglary?
Now, is this from the grand jury or these green sheets?
Grand jury.
Are these green sheets or are they grand? Is this an indictment? Okay, very good. Okay.
Josh, calm down.
This is my son right now.
All right.
Buddy.
Come on, let's go. To the car. I've been more than nice. To the car.
I don't understand what's happening right now. Like, I...
Just
please share this.
That makes two of us don't understand what's happening right now. First of all, a grand jury is not going to indict someone for burglary. It turns out that it has to do something with a $50 flip phone from her mother or something. Some total BS. I think it's nothing but publicity stunt to get people to watch this documentary. More distraction. You know, it's just insane to me that one, she never shows a video of the police officer. She's, I think it said Free Loomer on her shirt there. The cops just don't do that. You know, if you've been indicted by a grand jury, they show up with a SWAT team, and most of you saw the Roger Stone be arrested at 6 a.m. I mean, that's how they roll, these guys. And that is just total BS. So why? So next story, viral Shadowgate documentary deleted by Facebook and YouTube after filmmaker's arrest. So let's get some more publicity for this. Let's get some more distraction. The Shadowgate documentary, which went viral after one of its producers was arrested on Friday, has now been removed by both YouTube and Facebook. It's available on BitChute. We have a link to it for you if you want to see it. Like I said, it's yesterday's news, though. This Obamagate thing, see, this has been going on forever. We got bigger fish to fry right now. We got bigger things to worry about, like COVID-19, like a vaccination, like the destruction of this economy, like our freedoms being removed from us every single day, and the violence in these democratically run cities, which we'll get to in a minute. If you would, Olivia, play the trailer. There's about a 2-minute trailer for the for her documentary, Shadowgate.
People that worked for John Brennan approached me while I was in my specialist training in the Navy.
I worked for Obama's National Security Advisor, General James Jones, for about 8 years for the development of social media psychological warfare.
We're talking about military-grade psychological warfare weapons being used on American citizens.
Paid for by American taxpayers.
I was a contractor for various intelligence agencies. Our intelligence doesn't stay within our borders or within federal buildings.
Force Psychological Operations Group had no idea that we were going to be taking their years worth of work that they paid us to do, and we kept the intellectual property rights to it and remarketed it, branded it commercially as the ShadowNet.
It pries into your demographic, your world. So if I want to blackmail you and put you under my thumb, not only will I know everything, I will know people I can get in contact to find out more about you.
I had full access to communications between the former GCHQ director, Hannigan, Adam Schiff, Daniel Jones, Brennan, General Jones, and many, many more.
You may know where the Hillary Clinton emails are.
Do you want to see me in Leavenworth?
Which I don't, by the way, so nobody raid me.
What basically you've heard just being described for the last 3 or 4 years with fake news and with fake news journalists, fake stories, fake dossier, all these things are attributes and characteristics of psychological warfare.
What did you name it iSci for?
I like the iPhone, Psy for psychological warfare.
Okay.
These operations aren't like just small things. They have to coordinate and organize all of these things. They have to coordinate with the assets they have in the media. And they have to do all of this without any attribution to themselves.
dangerous to our democracy.
So, you know, so if you can put up the bit shoot, we're not going to play the video, but if you could put that up on the screen, Olivia, that'd be great. But you can watch his documentary on bit shoot. It's also on Infowars.com. Here's the bottom line. You know, you watch it, you get all, first you get angry, you get disappointed in our government, you get upset. But the truth is, we know that the CIA runs the country. We know that the CIA runs the government. We know that they do it through these other companies like the RAND Corporation. And then they put all their CIA people in those companies and they do these things off the books so that they can never point back to them. So they use other corporations. They use other people, CIA agents, but getting paid by those corporations. So there's never anybody that can point a finger at them. But we know this. There's so many books written on this. If you haven't read Confessions of an Economic Hitman, I really, really suggest you read that book. If you want to know what the CIA does and how they operate, it's all right there. Now, here's the other thing, and here's why I call this all a big distraction. I don't know if you can put this up there, Olivia, but I just have a screenshot of Richie from Boston. He's another guy that I listen to. And so he comes out, he debunks her and says, listen, you know, this is all BS. You know, they don't operate like this. I've been arrested. It's not how they do it. He's had a YouTube channel. He's got a bunch of followers. I watch the guy. But then there's people say he's a shill. See, here's the problem. You know, I do this every day. I go and search this stuff. And I probably do like 100 post on Facebook every week. And I would say out of 100, one or two times, someone will contact me and say, hey, Mike, this is fake news, or Mike, this is old news, or Mike, this isn't right. And I'll just delete it and remove it. But it's so easy to get fooled with all this disinformation. You have to understand, you know, the CIA, the NSA, we have all these agencies, the FBI, okay, they hire the smartest minds out of Harvard, MIT every year. They create these think tanks, they put them in a room, and they come up out of ways how to steal money, okay, all over the world, whether it's from human trafficking, from drugs, from gun running, whatever it is, you know, they're involved in everything. They create a war on, what was the first war since I've been a kid? The first thing was war on drugs, right? I think it was Nixon in the 70s. War on drugs. Drugs skyrocket because they're involved in it now. Bush was CIA director, then vice president for 8 years, then president for 4 years. And then he had his buddy Clinton in there for 8 years. Then he had his son, George W. in there for 8 years. I mean, this guy stole so much freaking money. He's a known pedophile. He's a known murderer. He's a known drug runner, arms runner. The things he did in Iraq, that first war in 90 or 91, it was 91. And they went into Kuwait, these Iraqis, okay? And they go, okay, war's over. We did our thing. And they're all coming back from Kuwait, all these Iraqi military soldiers. He just lit them up like a firecracker, just killed them all on a road and just obliterated them. And there was no fighting going on, okay? It's all about power with these people. It's all about death. They get off on death. They get off on so many sick things. And we continue to support them, vote for them, pay our taxes to them as they take more and more of our freedoms and more of our money. So I want to get into this next article right now. And I encourage you to listen to Richie from Boston. He seems like a good guy to me. Now he's on the, you know, we have a spectrum here. He's at like, they're coming to get us any day now. Okay. And then you have people where, you know, everything's going to be okay and nothing's going to go wrong. We just got to get Biden and Harris in there and take our country back. Or you got people say, no, we need 4 more years of Trump. We'll fix. No, ladies and gentlemen, this swamp is so deep, so big. The whole thing has to break. That's the only fix there is for this. And let's get into this next article. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. with Ron Paul. Ron Paul is a former congressman from Texas. And the headline says, and I watched this interview, it's very, very powerful. We'll give you a link. I strongly urge you to watch this interview of Ron Paul interviewing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But the headline says, CIA killed my father and my uncle. Now, I've already known this. Okay, I studied the JFK murder for years and years and years. And there's so many the videos keep getting taken down, but there's so many books, there's so much proof, there's so much evidence. The whole thing that they got the American people to believe that the bullet came from here, but his brains came out this way. Okay, so somehow the bullet went and did a U-turn, hit him here, and came out there, and then the whole story is comical. But of course, they got everybody to believe it, just like they got everybody to believe 9/11. I mean, they're mad. You know, I think it was Hitler. You said you tell a lie long enough and often enough, and eventually it becomes the truth. Well, trust me, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Lee Harvey Oswald did not kill John F. Kennedy. Okay, he was killed by CIA and God knows who else, because there was a lot of people that wanted him dead. And the bullet came from here. The autopsy was rigged. And this is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. telling us, you know, that he looked into it with his uncle, his father, Robert, who wasn't killed until 1968. And he says, it was such a fascinating article. I'm just going to read a little bit, and then I'm just going to tell you what I saw. In what is sure to be a historical interview, I really encourage you to watch this. Former Congressman Dr. Ron Paul interviewed attorney Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on his daily Liberty Report program. While Dr. Paul starts the program by stating that the main reason they were inviting Mr. Kennedy on the program was to discuss vaccines, Dr. Paul gets right into an issue that many Americans have questioned for over five decades. What was the truth behind the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in 1963, the uncle Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., his father, in 1968, and what role did the CIA play in that? Mr. Kennedy begins by mentioning a book he was written, American Values, which I'm going to read, which he says documents his family's almost 75-year battle with the CIA. He says the fight with the CIA started in the mid-1950s when President Truman asked his grandfather, Joseph Kennedy, to serve on a commission called the Hoover Commission. Their task was to look at the CIA because the CIA was not originally chartered to engage in paramilitary activities, fixing elections, murdering world leaders, and interfering with the democracies of other countries, which they had started to do. So you have to understand, in World War II, we had the OSS. That was our intelligence operation for overseas. Okay, after the war ended, we brought all these Nazis over here, and we created the CIA. And that's when they started doing all this stuff, and that's when they created this MK Ultra, which were they take these young men, troubled young men, torture them, beat them, break their minds, get them to become super soldiers, super assassins. They're brutal, these people. You know, watch The Bourne Identity. It's not a movie that's fictional. It's based on real stuff. There's so many books on MK Ultra, and I always bring up this one. She was an MK Ultra slave, Kathy O'Brien, The Transformation of America. If you have a strong stomach, and you have a lot of courage, and you really want to know what's going on, read this woman's book. It'll blow your mind. So what's interesting is the JFK thing. I mean, you can study that for 2 hours and come to the conclusion that it was a conspiracy to kill him. In fact, the United States government said that in 1985, and they had another commission. They had the Church Commission, I think, in the 70s after JFK, RFK, MLK were assassinated. People going, hey, well, come on, this doesn't make sense. So they had that commission, but in 85, they came out and said, yeah, John F. Kennedy was a conspiracy. There was more than one person involved, but that never gets any press on mainstream media because they're the ones that sold us the other story. I mean, they sold us a story with Oswald being transferred in the police station and Jack Ruby walks right in, all these cops around, and pulls out a gun and kills the guy right on TV. I mean, it's really comical what they do. But then he talks about the murder of his father. He said, listen, I didn't want to get into the conspiracy. I accepted the fact that Sirhan killed my dad. I read his papers. I studied it. And I didn't want to get into it. And then someone talked me into looking at it and said, listen, I just want you to come spend a couple of days with me and go over all the autopsy reports of this murder of your father, which he does. And the autopsy reports say right here, Sirhan was in front of him waving a gun. He only had 8 bullets. There were 14 bullets shot, okay? And none of Sirhan's bullets hit RFK. There were 4 bullets from point-blank range in the back of his head. That's how he died, okay? And this poor Sirhan guy has spent his whole life in prison, allegedly. So anyways, This is why I don't trust anybody in the United States government, in any government, to be honest with you. These people play hardball. They play for keeps. You've seen the Clinton body count. And if we don't wake up and do something, and I think there's a lot of hope. There's hope because of what's going on. People are starting to wake up. But more importantly, I think there's an energy shift happening. And I really believe that something, I think this is going to break, and I think it's going to be ugly. But I do think that we can usher in a new system, a better system, based on justice, based on working together, based on integrity, and based on honesty. That's what I'm holding out for. And I don't think it comes from this 17th letter in the alphabet that everybody's touting. I'm not sure it comes from Trump. I'd love to think it does. I think it's going to be bigger than that. I think it's going to be almost like metaphysical or spiritual. I think it's going to be a new energy that's going to come on. Something has to give. I mean, if we keep going this way, you know, I'm 63 years old, so I can see a pattern for 63 years, and I can see it speeding up and with this technology. I'm not going to get into all this pedophilia and all this sickness that goes on in this world on today's show, but we've covered it plenty, and you guys know what I'm talking about. So let's go to our next. This is part of the mainstream media BS, if you will. CNN poll, Biden and Trump matchup tightens as enthusiasm hits new high. I guess the enthusiasm is because Biden finally named his vice president Kamala Harris. But anyways, Joe Biden's lead over Donald Trump among registered voters has significantly narrowed since June, according to a new CNN poll conducted by SSRS. Okay, so everybody's excited. Well, look at the polls when he ran against Hillary. He didn't have a chance. Everybody said that. My own polling, based on all the people I know, Trump wins 80-20, easy, hands down. But well, they're talking about a lot of rigging, and who knows? And then we're going to get into this mail-in voting right now. Let me just cover one more thing. CNN poll, Biden's lead of Trump tumbles by 10 points after 2 months of rioting. See, the Democrats are shooting themselves in the foot with this rioting. CNN's last survey, conducted in early June, when riots had largely been confined to Minneapolis, had Biden leading ahead by 14 points. Now he leads by just 4. Okay. The poll indicates that the riots have not only convinced many independent moderates to vote for Trump, but the unrest has also hardened support amongst Trump's base. There's no doubt about it. I mean, and this is only going to get worse, only going to get worse. So I got to move quickly here because I want to cover some important things about this United Post Office. But here's Diamond and Silk. There's some black sisters. They're big Donald Trump fans. They were offered, they've got a new book coming out, of course, and so now they're touting that. But they were offered $150,000 to dump Trump and endorse another candidate they reveal in their upcoming book. Okay, so black people, okay, can't be for Trump, okay, because then they're Uncle Toms. They're not real black people. Like Joe Biden said, hey, if you vote for Trump, you're not really black. I don't get this. What does color have to do with election? What does color have to do with who you believe will be a good president? How did we get so far down this crazy rabbit hole? I'll tell you, Nancy Pelosi, Waters, whatever her first name is over there in L.A., all these stupid Republicans, Schumer, they're all just crazy, left and right. There's no difference. But we choose a side. We get caught up fighting over that. Well, they just sell us down the river. Okay, I love this article here. If the Postal Service was publicly traded, it would have a $1 trillion market cap. In the past few days, there has been an unprecedented amount of manufactured drama over the U.S. Postal Service, as discussed in Unpacking Fact from Fiction behind the USPS drama, which has continued overnight. Here's where it gets in. And which, as Byron Rourke summarizes, speculation about Trump and the post office has grown so frantic that it resembles the frenzy 3 years ago over allocation from many of the same people that Trump conspired with Russia to fix. You Democrats that believe this shit are idiots, and you Republicans that get caught are idiots. This is just more of the same bullshit that they keep feeding down our throat that we fight about, okay? In any case, we wouldn't belabor the political talking points, as those will be with us every day for the next 78 days. But instead, make a market-based observation that the U.S. Postal Service, which has just had 3 profitable quarters this decade, okay, decade, so that'd be 4 a year, that's 40 quarters, they've had 3 that were profitable. had been a publicly traded company, it would easily have a massive market valuation. Why? Because in the last 10 years of 40 quarters, the United States Postal has made $688 billion in revenue while losing $68 billion. An abysmally bad performance, which even such incinerators as Tesla, Uber, and Netflix can only admire in stunned silence. And since this market rewards nothing quite as generously as massive cash burn, it is beyond debate that the United States Postal Service would have a market cap of over $1 trillion. In fact, thanks to its record net loss, it might even be the world's most valuable company, thanks to the Fed, which has flipped every market fundamental upside down by buying all these stupid stocks that are completely overvalued. When this pops, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to pop like you can't believe. All right, so let's get into this balance. This is going to be quick. You know, when I started this, you know, I couldn't, what was the difference between an absentee ballot and a mail ballot? I couldn't figure it out. What could be the difference, okay? So this comes from Montana, and this is a good article. Most election officials say there's little effective difference between absentee voting and voting by mail, said a recent news article. This is simply false. Every day there are AP articles, letters or editors, news articles, mail, radio, and TV shows that falsely conflate absentee ballots with voting by mail ballots. Ask a Montana election judge for more than 30 years. I know that these are two very different means of voting during an election. I encourage everyone to check the status of your Montana voter registration. So if you're not in Montana, obviously you check your state. I'm in California, so I'm sure if I check that one, you know, they have a role there, okay? So you go to blah, blah, blah. You find it at the voter registration center, and then you click start and type in your name and birth date as you are registered. So I'm a registered voter, so I can do this in my state. You may change your address if necessary. If you wish to vote by absentee ballot in the November 3rd general election, open the voter registration application. Following item 9, see receive your ballot in the mail. Check the box, yes, I request an absentee value, and submit. An absentee ballot must be requested by registered voter. Now, I've never done this, and I'm in California, but every time there's an election, I get an absentee ballot mailed to my home that I can mail in. Okay, now it's interesting, when I mail it in, one, I'm a registered voter, two, I got to sign it. A ballot to vote by mail, on the other hand, is an unsolicited universal ballot that is sent to every person on the voter rolls. Although the Federal National Voter Registration Act of 1993, Section 8, obligates states to maintain accuracy of their rolls by removing the names of ineligible voters due to moving, death, and other reasons by 90 days prior to each election, many fail to comply, and the law has not. Of course, they don't have the money. They don't have the time. They don't have the energy. The whole thing is really screwed up system, which would be very, very easy to fix. And we're going to get to that. But the bottom line is, do we mail a vote, an absentee ballot to everyone in the country or just the people that request it? I get it. If you don't want to go down to your polling booth because you're afraid of the flu, which has been there every time you voted, people go there with the flu. But I get it if you're afraid of this and you want to stay at home and wear your mask and socially distance. But what's wrong with asking the state to mail it? Okay, so here we go. So, and then Trump did this. Voters in North Carolina have received absentee ballot request forms in the mail with Trump's face on them. So Trump, his reelection committee people in North Carolina, they did this. They said, okay, we're gonna send out these votes. All Trump is saying, listen, there's a much better chance for fraud if you mail one to everybody. But if that's what's going to happen to do it, those people in North Carolina running this campaign decided to do it. Whether they're going to do it in California, I doubt it, because it's probably already going to go Democratic, so they're not going to waste money here. But it's just ludicrous that we can't create a good system. Oh, my God. I mean, I can create a good system in like a week, okay, for not much money that would be flawless, and you couldn't cheat, okay? It's not that hard, ladies and gentlemen. But like I started earlier, the war on drugs, and then the war on cancer. Cancer goes through the roof. Now one out of two people get cancer in this world. Okay. Now we got the war on terrorists. Terror started in 2001. Now there's terrorists everywhere, except there's no terrorists now that we have the COVID-19. All that's dried up, gone away, because the elite, their attention is now on COVID-19. That got them to reach certain goals over there, ISIS and all that other bullshit that they created. But now it's COVID-19. So now we don't have to worry about ISIS anymore. That's been replaced by COVID-19. Do you see a pattern here? I love this one. Former NBA player claims Trump is locking mailboxes in Burbank, gets instantly debunked and doubles down. So this guy's name is Chapman. I never heard of him. Rex Chapman played in the NBA. So there's he tweets a thing that in Burbank, Trump is locking all the mailboxes. Okay. The head of the post office in Los Angeles says, no, they're not locked. You got to go to the other side. People were sticking their fists down and stealing the mail. So we lock one side. You got to walk around so you can't pull up in your car and do it. Okay. And even after that, he keeps tweeting this nonsense. And I've seen people on Facebook all day long, Democrats that I know, saying we're going to steal this election. Not me, Republicans. Trump going to steal this election. If anybody's going to steal the goddamn election, it's the Democrats. They've been doing it forever, ladies and gentlemen. Wake up. You know, and the Republicans, I keep referring to myself as a Republican. I'm not, believe me. So what the Republicans do is that they mess with elections in other people's country. That's what I don't like about the Republicans. Okay, well, the Democrats are worried about their power here. The Republicans are worried about power all over the world. Okay, how can we go mess with Venezuela? How can we go mess with Iran? How can we go mess with Syria? That, you know, that's John McCain and all those boys. No, they were bigger thinkers, the Republicans. And there's a lot more money to steal. I think the Pentagon on September 10th, 2001, right before 9/11, Rumsfeld went on air and said, we can't account for $2.2 trillion. Well, now it's up to $20 trillion. Okay, they keep stealing the money. Okay, don't you realize that? They are robbing us blind and taking our rights, and pretty soon there's not going to be a country to worry about. So we talked a little bit. So I think you got the deal. Here's a good article out of Michigan. Michigan rejects 10,694 mail-in ballots. Why? Because 846 of them were dead. Michigan clerks rejected 10,694 of the state's 1.6 million absentee ballots. These were absentee. During the August 4th primary, according to data released by Michigan's Secretary of State, so 10,000 votes were flawed. And then we saw the story where China mailed 20,000 driver's license into this country so people could go register to vote. I mean, you gotta show an ID to do everything. I'm a car salesman. I gotta have an ID, a driver's license. Then I gotta go get a car salesman license in the state of California to sell cars. I have to be licensed to sell cars. I have to be licensed to cut hair. I have to be licensed to sell real estate. I have to be licensed to do loan. You have to be licensed to do damn near anything in the state of California except vote. I mean, it's insane, absolutely insane. So here we go. Left morons show up in person outside the Postmaster General's home to protest against casting their votes in person. Like the Postmaster General has something to do with this. A group of far left morons showed up to the Postmaster General Louis DeJoves' D.C. home on Saturday to protest against casting their votes in person at a voting booth. Liberal logic. I love this one. Here's liberal logic for you. Forget liberal and conservative. Here's just dumbass American logic for you. Protesting shoulder to shoulder is safe, but voting in person where proper social distancing measures can be taken is dangerous. Leftist agitators staged a noise demonstration Saturday outside of Louis DeJoves' home, honked horns and beat on drums, and I can't read that. Amid fake reviews allegations, limiting mail-in voting for general election. It's just nonsense. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. So I didn't give this to Olivia, but I'm going to just read it real quick. Pelosi says the House has to return. All the House members need to return to Washington, D.C., because they're on their, you know, I don't know how many weeks of vacation they get, probably 26. Pelosi says the House has to return to vote on USPS funding in order to protect Social Security checks. There's just one small problem. For the last 15 years or so, we don't mail Social Security checks. They're direct deposits. That's the only way you can get your Social Security check. This lady's 80 years old. She's been in there since my entire lifetime. She's a crook. She went there broke and now she's a gazillionaire. She's a liar. She's a con artist.
They all are. And we just keep taking it. And then we argue about, oh, my con artist is better than your con artist. Your con artist is crook. No, your con artist is crook. Give me a break. Here's where we could go. And this could happen. Why don't we get some smart people in government? The United States Post Office just filed a patent for a blockchain-based secure voting system. They actually filed it, I think, in February. Hang on. It looks like the United States Post Office is getting in the business of voting. It has recently been unearthed that the United States Post Office filed for a patent on February 7th, 2020, for a secure voting system that uses a blockchain access layer. Now, I don't understand this blockchain. I'll be honest with you. I invested in Bitcoin and sold it for a loss because I don't understand it. And I don't get it. Okay. But really, really smart people will tell you this blockchain system is the best system there is for this kind of stuff, for currency, but also for things like this. It can't be hacked. There's no fraud. It can't happen, ladies and gentlemen, the way it's designed. So why don't we do that? Why don't we get some, because they want to be able to rig the election. Don't you get it? That's why it's structured that way. All right, I got to get into this now. So this is a Democrat politician, John Thompson. He encourages a crowd to burn down Minneapolis. John Thompson, who won last week's Democrats primary for the Minnesota House of Representatives, District 68. So he just won the Democratic primary. So he's going to be running in November to be the Minnesota House of Representatives for District 67A. Okay? Play that video, if you will, Olivia, of this fine gentleman.
Black skin, I mean. I'm a black man being terrorized by this fucking Klansman right here. We are terrorized by the Grand Wizard. Y'all got the Grand Wizard living in your goddamn neighborhood. All the Klan exists in Hugo, Minnesota, and it's right here. Don't run now. Don't run now, racist white people. I'm here. Oh, yeah, we pull up. Yeah. We pull the fuck up. Yeah.
Wow. So I don't even know what to say. And you look at his audience, like six white girls with a Blue Lives Matter supporting the police of Blue Lives Matter. And this guy goes off on them trying to, and he's in a suburban neighborhood in Minneapolis. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? What is going on? That's what I want to know. So this is where this kind of guy leads to this. So Portland rioters viciously beat, man, you got to see this. Okay, violent rioters allegedly beat a man in Portland last night, kicking and punching him in the head after he reportedly defended someone that had been attacked. The man then appeared to attempt to flee the situation in his truck and later ended up crashing into a building, at which point he was violently attacked by what independent journalists have identified as Antifa and Black Lives Matter activists. During the attack, he was kicked in the head from behind, which instantly knocked him out. Some of the witnesses attempted to move him. Will you play that for us, Olivia?
You fucking loser! Fucking try to run people over! Fuck you, stupid bitch! Get the fuck out of here!
Get him out of the street! Get him out of the fucking street!
That nigga's dead, dog!
Get him out of the street. Hey, run some fucking assessment, right?
You're okay.
I'm not here for a fucking reason, nigga. All this racism shit, you gotta stop!
Unbelievable. And how do you just go and just kick an unarmed man that's not even looking at you with all you got into the face? That's in Portland. It's going on in Michigan. I can show you these videos all day long. Big rumble in Michigan. Big rumble in Sturgis, South Dakota. What is going on? And this is getting no coverage. It's only going to get worse. You guys, I'm old, so I remember 1968, the Democratic convention in Chicago. What happened there was nothing compared to this. And we had big issues then. We had race riots. We had the Vietnam War. But nothing like this, ladies and gentlemen. And that was actually a little bit more legitimate. That was a really insane. Racism was really, really bad then. Not nearly as bad as it is today. And the Vietnam War was a total disgrace, but so is what we've done in Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and Venezuela and everywhere else. But there's no protest. Why? Because there's no draft. They're not drafting my kids and they're not drafting your kids. They just collapse the economy in the Midwest, and those kids have one choice if they want to have a life, and that's enlist into the military. And then we do it all by drones now. The military's genius, okay? They created these video games where, you know, for 20, 30 years, these kids have been killing people in their basement or in their bedroom and on their laptop playing these video games. So it's not real to them. They can disassociate, and it's not emotional. So now we just put them in a room in Washington, D.C., and we give them the same computer game, but now they're taking real drones flying over the Middle East or wherever, probably pretty soon to the United States. I think they're actually using them in this COVID-19 thing. And they just push a button and they kill a whole family. You know, oh, we took out one bad guy, but we killed 80 other. Who? What kind of civilization does that? And we expect that, let's say there is a God, there is a creator. We expect God to endorse that and to bless this place. Look what we've done to this earth, the toxicity in this earth, the toxicity in our food, the toxicity in our water, the toxicity in our minds, the toxicity in our hearts, the toxicity in our souls. This is all these little things I'm showing you right now are nothing compared to what's going to come if we don't wake up and if we don't move from our program mind bullshit belief systems and move into our heart where there is love, there is peace, and there is truth. But we also use our gut to flesh out what's real, and we do need to take some action, okay? All this turning the other cheek is not going to work. Prayer is going to help, but it's not the only solution. We need to become activists with voting and with our mouths and wake as many people up to what's really going on, or we in big trouble. I got a lot more stories to cover. We're not going to get to them. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And this last, I'll just, you know, I'll put it up a little bit. COVID-19 vaccine push lack. The COVID-19 vaccine push, which Trump is orchestrating, lacks a key ingredient, trust. And it's going worse and worse and worse for them. As more and more people wake up, we know this vaccination is not going to work. We know it's going to make more people sick. There's no way I would ever take this vaccination, or no way I'd allow anybody that I had children under 18 to take this vaccination. It's going to be the kiss of death. And that's where we're headed. If you want to take it, go for it. I'm going to be long gone by then. But with that said, we're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. But there is some positive hope here. So grab it. But you know, if you like what we're doing, share it, like it, let other people know. We'll be back tomorrow night, 5 p.m. live, Pacific. Until then, go out there and have a great evening. God bless.
You've been listening to Get Real with Mike Murphy. We all need to wake up before it's too late. Learn to question everything, open your mind, and own your power. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Hi, I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.